Everybody, welcome back to Inside the Genie's Lamp. Today, we're going to be running over what to do when you're motivated is basically the big topic and thing that we're going to be running over. So when you're motivated, prepare for the inevitable crash, how to become and stay motivated, and then what to do when you are motivated. I want to bring this up as a topic and talk about it because it seems to be in a perfect cycle for all of my clients and myself and everything that I've noticed across the years. Like, this is not something that's just happening presently. It's something that has happened massively in the past, but I've just been reminded of it as of recent because I have so many clients that are basically just in that cycle. So how the fuck? I suppose, what do we do when we're motivated is the big thing. I've got some talking points that I really want to stick to, but I know that I'm not going to because it's me and it's the podcast and that's what I do. I just talk a lot of different shit. I'm also not sure. I'm not sure if I have already touched on this. I think I might have alluded to it with a TikTok post and then maybe an Instagram caption as well. Or if I'm just getting super into, obsessed and encapsulated. Is that the word? Engrossed in Simply Happy Healthy. In obviously that new program that is coming out in July. I'm going to see if we can bring it forward just because I'm fucking hyped for it. But because I've been doing so much for Simply Happy Healthy, recording all of that, making all the classes, doing everything, I have trouble separating what I've actually spoken about and what's in the program that no one even knows that I've spoken about. So when I come on here and I'm like, hey, everybody, here's this cool topic that I've probably already spoken about, people are like, no, what the fuck are you talking about? We have no idea what is happening right now. So I'm like, oh, cool. So I really have to, before I start recording these, which is what I've done right now, I've gone back and listened to like clips and bits of different Spotify podcasts just to make sure I'm not doubling up. Well, tripling up, because I'm going to double up in some capacity because things are always interrelated. But yeah. So I've had a lot of clients that have been massively motivated to get shit done. Not only with their nutrition and working out and taking care of themselves, prioritizing themselves, they're seeing amazing results. That's awesome. They're also just doing things in their life, like life admin stuff. Easiest example I can give is me. I booked in my car to go to the mechanics. Fantastic. It's not life-changing, but it's going to take something off my brain. It's going to do that. They're booking in appointments. They're sending texts and calling people when they need to. And they're ultimately just doing shit that they no longer have to dwell on, think about, or procrastinate on. And go, oh, I've still got to call this person. Oh, I've still got to do that. Oh, I've got to go to this place. They're not doing that anymore, or as much, I should say, because it happens every so often. But they're just getting shit done. And it's a high majority of people. And it was crazy how it was all happening at the same time. I had one client one week. The next week, it was someone else. The week after, it was two more people. And it sort of snowballed. And I said the exact same piece of advice to all of them that obviously motivated me to write this down to record the podcast for you all. When you're motivated, this was the sort of piece of advice that I gave them. When you're motivated, prepare for the crash. You are going to crash because we cannot sustain this level of energy. It's awesome if you can, which is fantastic. But even the clients that I've got where they are smashing every sort of tangible sense, they are getting every number almost to the T in terms of nutrition. Workouts, they're working out like all hell. They're hitting that. They're doing everything. If I just said, hey, go do this. And they're like, yep, perfect. I'm going to do all that and then a little bit more and make sure it's perfect and have a backup plan and do all that fun stuff. Even the most absolute spot on client who is doing that, they will not sustain it, which is obviously shitty. I wish that we could all sustain it. That'd be amazing. I feel like the world would be a better place. Or maybe we just fucking run it into the ground a lot quicker. Who knows? So we just don't know anymore, do we? We'd like to think that if we were super motivated, had all the energy, did all the stuff, that, hey, the world would be a better place. But there's people that would be like, ah, there's not much else to do. Wonder if we can run it into the ground quicker. So yeah, preparing for the inevitable crash is really just looking for, like, when you're motivated. I'm going to go all the way back to the start. When you're motivated, a lot of people typically just go, this is amazing, everything's going correctly, everything's going to plan, this is awesome, I'm feeling amazing, I'm sleeping good, I'm hitting PBs, I'm doing this, doing that, everything's just easy. And they go and enjoy their life, which is obviously awesome. That's the key that we want for everyone that is signing up. Even people that aren't signing up, we just hope that things go well for you in general. The big thing is that we get motivated and then almost become blind to everything else that is around us. When something goes wrong, it doesn't matter as much. Oh, sweet. Yeah, no, that's fine. It's all this, that, and whatever. That's all good. As long as I can get to the gym, things are still going to be all right. Something else goes wrong. Ah, that's kind of annoying, but, you know, I'll move my gym session from here to there because of the inconvenience. Something else goes wrong. A third thing goes wrong. Oh, for fuck's sake. And then that's where a massive, like, implosion comes in. Or it's a bit of a bell curve where it's a little bit more gentle, but it just comes down. You do something on the weekend, you finally stop, you decompress, and you go, whoa, man, I didn't realize how tired I was. I didn't realize how hungry I was. I didn't realize this, that, whatever. We become blind to a lot of things that are happening. For people who are massively motivated, and like I do this for myself, and I have realized that I'm a massive cyclical type of person. I'm a very seasonal type of person, which basically means I'm on or I'm off. And then I also have between those, like I'm on, and then I will transition into being off, and then I will transition into being on. And I'm seeing that trend in basically every single person I work with. They're not on or off. There are transition periods in there as well that we have to take into account and use as best as we can. But because people are usually so on and off, they neglect that transition period, which is, what are you doing to become motivated? What are you doing to become less motivated? How do you become motivated? How do you become unmotivated? Those things in there, the transition periods, I believe are super important. We can minimize them as much as we can so that we're more efficient with our time. Obviously, we want to be more motivated than not. But when we are not motivated, how do we get ourselves into becoming motivated? I believe it is that transition period and what people do when they are motivated or unmotivated that causes them to get to where they want to go a lot quicker. So when we're motivated, we ride that wave because we're so in the moment, we're happy with everything and how it's currently going. So why would we focus on anything else? But what I get my clients to do, what I do for myself, is to obviously keep doing what they're doing, because it's obviously everything is amazing. Everything's working. That's what we want. That's the key. But we want to put some things in place to get ready for the crash. We're going to lose motivation at some point. That's why it's an inevitable crash, because we can't sustain it. Even if you're the most energetic, natural, oh my God, holy shit, hippie type of person, like, yeah, everything's going to be fine. It's going to be this. If you're Bob Marley of people, like, you're going to crash at some point. And that's totally fine. That is normal. It is to be expected. We are human. We need to rest. That's why we are programmed to sleep for fucking 8 hours a day. Because if we didn't need to rest, we wouldn't have a biological response to need to shut down all of our processes for 8 hours in the day so we can recharge and get ready to go do it again. It makes sense that we need to rest, but people seem to neglect it and go, no, I can stay up for 24 hours, or no, I don't need to get sleep. I don't need to do these things. With that, even if you slept for 8 hours a day and worked for the other 16 hours, or just were alert for the 16 hours, that's still a 33% to 66% ratio of work to rest. You're going to need something in there. And people obviously go, we've got 8 hours to sleep, which is 33% of your life. You've got 8 hours a day to work, which is another 33% of your life. So then you've got 33% of your life, or of that day. Because obviously some people may retire earlier, some people may retire later. Who knows? Percentages get fucked up. But in general, on average, you've got 8 hours a day to do whatever you want with. That's another 33% of your life. And then it's not 33% or 8 hours of your day to do whatever you want. It's, oh shit, what responsibilities do I have? I have to travel 45 minutes to work there and then back, which is an hour and a half round trip. Now we've gone from 8 hours to 6.5. Then do you have to take kids to school or do anything, or, you know, what are your responsibilities as potentially a parent? Let's just say that's another 2 hours of just commuting all of that. I know it would be a lot more in terms of getting them ready for dinner, and then bath time, and then bed, and then shower, and then why the fuck don't you want to have a shower? Oh my God, get in there, I'll put you through the wall. You know, I'm going to be an amazing dad. So that would consume maybe another, let's say, 3 hours. We'll just chuck that on top. Just even to be conservative, let's just say 3 hours. So then that's an hour and a half, 3 hours. That's 4.5 hours, down from 8. We've now got 3.5 hours for ourselves in the entire day. What do we do during that 3.5 hours? Well, we're going to have to do some sort of meal prep to make sure that we have food. We're going to have to cook for ourselves. We're going to have to make lunch. We're going to have to make breakfast. We're going to have to sit and eat and do that thing. Maybe there's an hour in the day for breakfast and lunch and dinner and snacking and time out or whatever to sit and consume food. So there goes another hour. We've now got 2.5 hours to do what we want in terms of mindfulness, be with ourselves, play a video game, do whatever. Go to the gym, do that stuff. 2.5 hours. When you have that perspective of when things are going perfect and when you're super motivated to do everything, amazing, keep doing it. I'm not asking you to change anything. What I am asking you to do is to plan for the crash. Use the motivation to get ready for that crash. Because if you've got the 2.5 hours a day, let's just say you might have more, you may have less, no fucking idea. But let's just say you've got the 2.5 hours per day for yourself. If you fill that with the gym, there's an hour gone. You've now got an hour and a half to do whatever. And it becomes very, and this is not every day because you're not going to go to the gym every day. But this is why focusing on the journey is the most important thing as opposed to the goals, which is going to tie in perfectly for how to become and stay motivated. If you want to become, well, if you want to stay motivated, first off, it's a lot easier to focus on the fun and enjoyment and the entire journey of what you are doing, which is basically life. I cannot tell you how many clients I have that complain to me that they're pissed off, that everything they're doing through the program is incredibly simple. It's incredibly easy. They're doing everything, but it feels like it's not enough. They're still seeing results, but it doesn't feel like it's enough. There's no pain, there's gain. There's no pain, there's just gain. And that tends to piss them off because everything they've done in the past has been no pain, no gain. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to fucking bolt to the wall, put your head through the wall. And it's not like that. And when they come on board, and I had a client say it to me last week, they go, I'm paying this guy a lot of money and it's all simple shit that I could have done myself. And then I was questioning, like, what am I actually paying for? And I thought these calls, because we have a 45-minute call every week on the transformation program. She goes, she said this multiple times now, and I fucking love it. She goes, oh man, we're going to have a 45-minute call every week. That is going to do my head in. Like, what is there going to be to talk about? And every time we have gone over the 45 minutes because there's been too much to talk about, because she's been touching on, what do I do for this? And then I realized this, 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 this. And then my friend said this, and that made me realize this. And then there's small little bits where she takes a breath, where I know you're listening to this, where you take a breath. And I come in and go, yeah. Because A, B, C, D. So then that equals E. And that's why we end up doing it. So that thing that I gave you X amount of time ago, this is exactly what it's for. And I go, fuck. You know, I thought I'd hate these calls, but they're basically like therapy. And it's good to tie it all in with nutrition and workouts and all this stuff. I'm actually very annoyed how simple it has been. Because when people ask me, and this is not, I know you're listening, but this is not just this client. This is very common for a lot of my clients. People go, so what do you actually do on the program? And they go, I mean, he takes care of my nutrition and workouts, and that's pretty cool. That's awesome. But he just talks, and I just talk to him. And I don't know how, but I just come out of the call, and I'm just ready to take on life. I don't get it. I don't really know. So they go, oh, what do you talk about? I don't know. I honestly don't know. Realistically, what people are talking about is their life. They're finally, they're treating me as a journal and a voicing soundboard so that when they get on the call and I go, how's everything been? Which is why I used to have a set list of questions that I would ask. But when I said, how have you been? A lot of people, because I'm the sort of professional slash stranger, the person that's disconnected from their life in a way that's, oh, I can tell you anything because who are you going to tell? No one. Plus, coach-client confidentiality. That's in the contract that we sign as well. So fun fact. But I've got that disconnection to go, hey, I am just here because I want the absolute best for you. And I don't have any biases that you already have or the same perception that you have. I'm here to question everything that you do and why you do it and what you did and how we can make it better. I want nothing but the best for you. So that means sometimes I'm going to say some shit that you don't exactly like. But if it sort of quote unquote triggers you, if it gets a defensive response, if it gets anger, if it gets emotional, then we know that we're on the right path because there wouldn't be such a visceral response if it weren't true or if we didn't believe that it were true in some sort of capacity. So we don't want to get angry with it. We want to question it. We want to be curious with it because if that's the response that you're getting from someone that you're obviously paying to say, hey, could it be this? What about this? And you go, well, fuck. I mean, no, like, Maybe, yeah, but it could be, and then try to like defend and go the opposite way. Because it's uncomfortable as shit when we try to change and when we try to improve ourselves, because obviously that means we need to change. And it feels fucking horrible when you have a realization that something you've been doing for so long has been quote unquote wrong for you. It hasn't been the best for you. And this is something I spoke about in a different podcast where you do have to change your identity. And I think this was a podcast. Yeah, I think it was. I'm pretty sure that it was. I'm gonna quickly get this up because I swear to God, I've already touched on this, but it was changing your identity if you did want to sustain it. And because I'm calling my podcasts things with sexy titles now, I have no fucking idea if I'm talking about it. I don't think I did. I think this was something that I was meant to talk about, but I didn't. Anyway, I'll touch on it briefly here for you anyway. If you want to sustain your results, if you want to sustain your results and become the person that you want to become, then you're going to have to let go of the person that helped you survive. You're going to have to let go of that identity. And it was very hard for me to do that personally because my quote unquote work ethic slash mental illnesses basically pushed me into working 14 hours a day and working as hard as I did. And people didn't see it as, oh, you have a mental illness. That's why you're working as hard as you do, because you don't trust yourself to be alone with your thoughts. Good work, buddy. Nobody saw it as that. They saw it as, holy fuck, this guy gets to the gym at 5 a.m. and he leaves at 8:30 at night. And when I was in the gym, I was either taking clients or I was on my laptop working on something else, or I was working out myself, or I was just having lunch. But getting to the gym at basically 5 a.m. to set myself up, wake myself up, and then start taking clients from 5:30 till about 10:30, 11. Then I would have a lunch break. I would go work out. And then whenever my next client would be, which would normally be about sort of 2:30, I would start working with them. And then I would have a sort of weird, rough layover, like a weird, I don't know why I said layover as if I'm fucking going international with this travel. There would be a weird time period of like usually an hour at sort of 3:30 to 4:30, because tradies are finishing, school is out, pick up 3:30 to 4:30. There'd roughly be an hour there where it would be like, okay, do whatever you want, but the gym starts to get really busy. That's where I'd normally have second lunch, basically early dinner. And then I would train clients from 4:30 till about 8 at night and finish off emails, social media, all that fun stuff, anything else that I had to do. And I'd get home at about 8:30, 8:45. And then do it all again. And I did that every day, except Friday. I finished at 5. And Saturday, I did a quote-unquote half day where I worked 7 until 2. So that's 7 hours. And there'd be a break in there for lunch, like an hour break for lunch. So 6 hours technically. And I did that for the better part of I don't know how many years. It wasn't heaps, like 3 or 4 years, I think. But obviously, it caught up with me. In order for me to survive, I had to adopt a particular identity and personality of just someone that was like, I work hard, I do this, I'm constantly working, I'm constantly busy, I'm working hard, no one's going to work harder than me. The classic things when you start a business and you start listening to business mentorships and podcasts to be like, you need to be the hardest worker in the room, you need to hustle, you need to grind. Thank fuck that culture is over and well behind us, because Jesus Christ, not healthy. But I had to adopt a particular identity, mentality for I just need to survive right now. In order to do that, I have to create this identity. That identity means I do A, B, C, D, and I just cruise through life. Cruise isn't the right word, but got through life. And then things started to become more successful. And then I started to make more money. And then I started to get more clients. Then I started to get a bit of a following. And then I found TikTok and I was like, oh, let's try this out. And then it felt like overnight, but it was honestly 2 years to gain 100,000 followers on TikTok. And I remember I cried when I hit 100,000 followers on TikTok. So I was like, oh my God, this is real. This is it. And then I quickly realized followers on TikTok mean fucking nothing, because I still get 200 views every single video. To be fair, my content is shit and I do not have the time or energy right now to do even better content. So I'll fix that in the future. But hey, we'll see what life throws at me next to see what else I can fucking adapt to. So in order to sustain your results, in order to stay motivated, you need to shift your identity from letting go of the identity that you have curated that is allowing you to survive, or that did allow you to survive. You have to give yourself permission and feel safe enough to let go of that identity, not entirely. You just put it in the back seat and you let someone else drive. You let the healthier version of you drive. You let the happier version of you drive and make the majority of the decisions. It's always good to have that survivability and that sort of, I'm just going to say, negative mindset. And this is just my personal opinion. It's always good to have that in the back seat because you don't want to get rid of it entirely, because it is the thing that taught you to survive. It is the thing that motivated you. It is the thing that got you here. And it is the thing that will basically keep you aware and alert of potential red flags that are coming up in any area of your life. It's basically your alert system. So I like having that in the back seat somewhere, but I don't want it always driving, because if it's always driving, they're going to go, I don't need to rest. I'll drive. It's like, no, you need to rest. Take a drive. Like, no, I need to drive. You need to rest. I will drive. Take a rest, please. That alertness will be like, no, can't do it. I'm going to drive. Even if they're completely tired, even if they're completely drained, even if they're completely burnt out, they're going to say, no, it's fine. I've got it. You need to be able to be okay and safe and peaceful enough to be able to say, it's okay. I've got this. New personality comes in. New identity comes in. You're not gone forever. I'm not getting rid of you, but thank you for everything that you have done so far for me. You're just going to the back seat so that you can finally rest. And then the new identity comes in and says, okay, I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to have fun. Music gets turned up. You start dancing. You start feeling a bit like an idiot. And that identity comes in and you go, wow, this is fucking awesome. At some point, that personality, that person is going to need a rest every so often. And then someone else will come in and take the driver's seat. And that's completely fine. To stay motivated, you need to shift the identity into someone who, this being workouts, nutrition, everything, is just your lifestyle. And that's just what you do. There's no, okay, should I go do it? Or am I going to do it? Or this and that. It's like, well, I just get up and do it. The same way that I go to the gym 4 days a week now as a minimum of, I just do that. I find time to put it in. And if I can't get it in, then, you know, it's not the end of the world. But if it happens 2 weeks in a row, then I've got a problem. I do absolutely everything in my power to make sure it does not happen 2 weeks in a row. Because then it's the start of a habit. Then it is the start of a pattern. If it happens once, cool, it was a mistake. I misplanned. I did this and that. Next week, I'm going to plan for it and make it happen because that's just who I am. I'm going to get there and make it happen. And I have that identity about me. To stay motivated, have fun. I know you can't see a shoulder shrug, but maybe you can hear it. Mm-hmm. That's my shoulder shrug. So that's my shoulder shrug noise, apparently. If you have fun with it, if you enjoy it, if you can find the fun in the process of changing, improving, and learning new things, of being okay to be an idiot and be bad at something, but just having fun with it, that is how you're going to stay motivated. When you are motivated, it is important to set yourself up for the crash. Because ask yourself, when was the last time that you were motivated? Oh, it might have been 2 months ago, it might have been 6 months ago, 8 months ago, it could be right now, you might be right in the middle of it. How long did that last? 98% of people that I talk to, okay, cool. Yeah, so you've done insert, challenge, gym, program, trainer, whatever. You've done all these things in the past? Yep. Okay, cool. How long did you do them for? Well, there was one that I did for about 6 months, and that was really good because accountability, support, all that stuff was there. That was amazing. And they constantly checked in with me and did this. Shameless plug for that's what we do for the transformation program for Unfuck Yourself. I'm just going to throw that out there. Okay, cool. But apart from that one, what else was sort of, you know, how long did you stick to it? Oh, sort of like 2 to 3 weeks is probably the most common one where I finally, you know, 2 to 3 weeks is where I hit that. Oh, I don't really know if I can be bothered anymore. 4 to 6 weeks is where I start to get bored and I'm like, no, I'm well and truly done with this. Like, okay, cool. When you chose to do those things, you were probably motivated as shit and you're like, no, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to dive in. I'm going to do it. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to plan. This is going to be sweet. This is going to be amazing. Usually it's like a couple days after menstruation and you're just like, oh, okay. Hormones are starting to come back up. All right, this is awesome. Let's do this. And then about 2 or 3 weeks later, hormones come crashing down because of menstruation and oh my God, holy fuck, I can't do anything. So that's the typical pattern we see there. The second pattern that I see is women typically push through that initial period that they get and then they go into it and they go, man, fuck, I'm so bored of this. I don't know if I can be bothered. And then around week 6. There we go. Got to use the tongue and the teeth and the lips. Around week 6, when that sort of, well, 6 and 8 technically, when they get bored of the program, when it's the same thing, when they're not as motivated, when the weather potentially changes, when inconveniences start to happen, when quote-unquote life starts to get in the way, they start to feel a little shit and disheartened because they go, man, I have to do this forever. How long is this going to go for? And they forget why they're doing it and they focus on the end goal, which is, man, I've got to do this forever. I don't want to do this forever. I only want to lose 10 kilos, man. Fuck. And if I'm going to have to do this for, like, I'll just push through to the 10 kilos. And that's usually where I see people hit the 6 to 8 kilo mark. And then they go, fuck, this is just not worth it anymore. And then they give up and implode. When was the last time that happened for you? The reason I'm saying all of this and bringing up these patterns is because I want you to recognize that you have never been motivated for long periods of time. And the times where you have been motivated for long periods of time, there's normally been external accountability as a part of that. But for majority of people, there has not been I do this because I am that type of person that just does it. And maybe there are things that force your identity to change, like becoming a new mum. That is completely crazy. Becoming a parent, that is obviously going to throw you through the loop. Body goes through a lot of changes. Mind goes through a lot of changes. Identity obviously changes from that, from being you into I am a mum. And it is obviously I'm not a parent yet, but there is a massive shift into, like, I'm Travis, director of the Fitness Genie. I have an amazing partner that does this. If I were to get married and have a kid, that quote unquote Instagram bio would look like, obviously name, Travis, the Fitness Genie. Dad, father, husband, who helps people, blah, 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 blah. They become my big calling cards. The same way that anyone becomes a new parent, they don't become this person that does this. They become mum, wife, blah, 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 who helps people do blah, 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 or I do blah, blah, blah. It becomes a secondary thing. What they do becomes a secondary thing. Who they are becomes the primary thing, which then obviously comes, what does that identity or what does that type of person do? Well, if I'm associating with being a mum first, if that's the first thing that I say, or if I'm just going to use this for me. If I were a dad and I was like, I'm a dad and a husband and I do this, my first thought would be, I have to be a dad. I have to be present for them. I have to do that. I have to either, depending on your upbringing or depending on your understanding or therapy or wherever you are in your life, I have to work as hard as I can because I want to provide financially for my family. Or, twist it around, I need to work less so that I can spend more time with my family. So I need to. And then whoever you are or whatever your mindset or belief system or perception of it is, you're going to do things that help you identify with being a dad or a mum or a business owner or a whatever. That's going to be the top of the priority list for things that you will do. And then the second thing on your identity list is, for example, I'm a dad, I'm a husband, boom, husband. What does that mean? Well, I'm faithful. I go on date nights. I do these things. I spend a lot of time with my partner. I just want to be as present as I can and I want to do lovey-dovey stuff and be there for her and do everything I can for her. Again, swap it around, do the 180. Well, I need to work as much as I can so that I can provide financially for her because I love her. There are very different perceptions and things that you can do with the same identity. So it becomes creating the identity that you want to be able to sustain what you want. And if you're having fun along the way and trying to find the fun along the way, you're probably going to be motivated to want to do things that align with those that are going to feel less like a chore and more like a I get to and things like that. Lilo, this is a terrible example, but Lilo, when we got her as a new puppy, Beth got her something and she chewed through, I think it was like a collar. She got her a new collar. It was nice and fancy. And Lilo chewed through the little leather bit of it, which was meant to be like her forever collar. She chewed through little leather bits and it left teeth marks there. And she goes, oh my God, she's ruined it. It's brand new. It was so expensive. And now there's teeth marks in it. And I went, yeah, but they're her teeth marks at like 3 months old. So now we're always going to have her 3-month-old teeth marks in the leather collar. And she was like, yeah, but that's not the point. And then about a day or two later, it was like, oh, look at her little teeth marks. Trying to find the fun and the silver lining and things in that sense, it takes something from a negative to a positive to be like, yeah, you know, I am going to fold these clothes because this is the only time that these kids are going to fit into these clothes for maybe like another 2 weeks, for maybe another 4 weeks. And I get to fold these little tiny miniature clothes and they're my son's or daughter's clothes. Fantastic. I get to clean this kitchen because I'm not going to be in this kitchen forever. And I'm going to try and remember this as much as I can. It is trying to be present, but it's trying to have fun with it as well. That is going to create a lot of motivation for you to just want to do the things, or maybe not even want to do the things, but when you're in it, hating it less and enjoying the process a bit more to become a happier person. So then you don't stay stuck in the unmotivated part of like, man, what the fuck have I got to do with the kitchen? Why have I got to fold these fucking clothes? It's a never-ending thing. When are they going to leave? When are they going to grow up? When are they going to do this? And then it becomes, oh my God, I took my kids for granted, or I didn't get to actually be present with them and spend time with them. I was just so concerned with them growing up and getting to school so that I could have time and do this and do that. And we've lost a lot of opportunities to make memories. So staying motivated, have fun, create an identity, and how to become motivated. If you think of things being fun and not a chore, then you're more than likely going to want to do those things to be present, to be like, nah, you know what? I don't have to work late today because I can go to the park with the dogs, the park with the kids. I can take them on a playground. I can do this. Let's go run in the rain. Let's do this, that, whatever. That will naturally, when you start to do things that just make you happier, you'll start to become a lot more motivated. And when you are already motivated, if you're not yet at that part, but if you are motivated because things are going correct or they're going right or they're going to plan, think about the crash that is going to be coming. You haven't sustained motivation for long periods of time, and you don't yet have that identity to be present and be the person that you want to be just yet. But you can. So when you are motivated, set yourself up for the crash. That means have food on deck, have things ready. So you're not just planning for this week for the Sunday, have some backup foods ready. And this is why I was thinking about Simply Happy Healthy, because I went through like nutritional fail safes and fallback menus and all that fun stuff. So have a fallback menu ready. Have some things that are going to keep you fuller for longer, that are tasty, that can let you lean into your cravings. What is it like when your life hits chaos, when your life hits shit? How would you plan for that? And then you have a backup plan ready so that you are motivated as all hell. You're obviously trying to sustain it for as long as you can, but when the crash happens, you've got things there ready as a safety net ready to catch you. So that it doesn't feel like a, well, I've fucked up completely, I'm going to start again on Monday, and then you go to start on Monday, and because you've quote-unquote fucked up, you don't exactly feel the same amount of energy that you used to, and things become harder, and things become more of a pain in the ass. So then you're less likely to do them, and then you start half-assing it because it's really hard, and then at the end of that week, you go, well, fuck it, I'm just going to take the week off and start again next week. And then you get into that, and it starts to become a massive cycle where you stay stuck being unmotivated because things are difficult. So when you're motivated, use that as best as you can to set yourself up for the inevitable crash that is coming. What would your life look like if it hit absolute shit, if it hit the fan, if chaos started? What would you do, or how would you plan for that? Or what is the most likely obstacle, road bump thing that is going to get in your way in the past? Well, right now, but that has happened from the past, that has derailed you, that has made you fall off the horse, or that has made you unmotivated, that's made you want to stop. How do you plan for that? It's a lot easier to set yourself up for that when you're motivated. Because you go, oh yeah, I'll just go do this. I'll just go ba 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 ba. It's a lot easier. But when you're unmotivated and you go, right, how do I pull myself out of this? Oh, I'll probably go to the gym. I don't know if I can be fucked. It's kind of raining outside. Which is always one of my favorite excuses, is the weather. When people go, oh, I don't really want to go to the gym. It's like wet and rainy outside. Like, the gym is indoors. There's aircon and there's heaters. It's always at 19 or 21 degrees. So the weather doesn't matter. I know it may feel like, and I do this, because as soon as it starts raining, I go, yeah, I just want to sit inside and be cozy and play games and have a massive hoodie on and just chill. I want to do that. But if there's still things to do, yes, the motivation is going to be less. But I can't use the weather as an excuse, because I'm like, well, the weather doesn't affect the gym. I just have to get there. And then it's perfect, and then it's fine, and then it's heated, and then it's this and that. So, that's basically what I would do. When I'm motivated, I try to set myself up. I try to smash as much as I can out, to be perfectly honest. But I know I'm going to crash. So I try to prepare myself for that crash as best that I can. And what I told my clients was, plan this weekend to do nothing. To have time for yourself, to maybe have a refeed day or two. Have a date night, have a family night, do this and that. Just spend this entire weekend that is coming up. Even if you don't feel the crash is coming up yet, just have the weekend or a day or something where you don't think and you're not alert and you're not stimulated, where you can just be yourself with your people that you enjoy, or even just by yourself completely isolated because you don't want to be a people person right now. That's totally fine. Just have that weekend or day to yourself to do nothing with no plans and just enjoy your own company and just see what happens. Set yourself up for later, for when you know the crash is coming, for when you're going to be unmotivated. It's a lot easier to do that. So yeah, that is what I would do when I was motivated, when I am motivated. Right now, I'm not motivated to do fucking anything, but I keep doing them because we keep going, don't we? That's what we do. Because when I was motivated, I set up all these plans and then I was like, oh, I've actually been unmotivated for a couple weeks. That's a lot of fun. But I know for me how to get out of that because I plan it, schedule it, do it. Oh, well, it doesn't really matter how I feel right now. I'm just going to do this because I know that's what gets me motivated by doing the things to keep going. So that works for me, but I've figured that out. And when I am motivated, I just make plans. When I'm unmotivated, I make plans. That's just what I do. I've got a list. I'm going to stick to it. Okay, cool. But it's almost like a plan A, plan B. Plan A, when I'm motivated, here's all the things I'm going to do. Fantastic. Plan B, here's some of the things I'd like to do. Okay, if I want to get motivated, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I get out of it. So yeah, I hope that helped. I hope that was awesome. Obviously, I've alluded to it a hell of a lot. Simply Happy Healthy, that's coming in July. I'm probably going to start releasing a bit of videos on just like sort of sneak peeks for it because I think it's awesome. I might even do that on like Patreon just for free. I'm thinking about opening up Patreon a little bit to do some free things, create a community over there and just be like, hey, this is a fun thing that we can do. Because that's obviously where I'm hosting the book that I'm writing at the moment, which has also hit a little bit of a snag in terms of motivation because there's so much shit going on in the background that I have to focus on. Writing the book is definitely a long-term venture that is sort of taking the back seat at the moment for everything else that is going on that needs to be done short and medium term. But yeah, who knows what I'll do, but Simply Happy Healthy, that's coming in July, hopefully sooner. But probably not because I'm already behind schedule because the first 8 videos I filmed for it, they were corrupt. Fucking thank you, technology. So I had to refilm them and I've got to redo them. So that's a lot of fun. Your Mindful Movement by Laura. That is starting on the 22nd of April. The time that you're listening to this podcast, it'll be, well, depending on when, but the week of the 15th, because this podcast will be out on the 16th. The week of the 15th, you can save 10% by using Launch10. For Your Mindful Movement, you'll save 10% on your subscription fee, and that is for the life of your subscription to Your Mindful Movement. So whatever you can pay weekly, you can pay monthly, and there's also a standard and a VIP option. VIP has limited seating. Standard, you can, like anyone can join whenever. VIP, we are keeping a close eye on that because there are only 10 or 12 seats, I believe, for VIP because they are people who get to work a little bit more one-on-one personalized with Laura. So there's limited seats for that. But yeah, Launch 10, L-A-U-N-C-H 10, all one word. 10 is 10. So L-A-U-N-C-H 10, all one word, all caps if you're feeling dirty. And yeah, chuck that in. You'll save 10% on your recurring whatever fee that you're paying. That'll be for the subscription and the life of your membership. If you cancel and try to re-up with it, it obviously won't work. So yeah, save heaps of money, sign up, and you can find all the info for it in our link in bio, Instagram, TikTok, wherever. And yeah, get on it. Have a look at it. See if it's going to be right for you. If you don't know if it's going to be right for you, DM Laura, because obviously she's going to be the coach. It's her program. DM Laura on Instagram at Laura MC Gould, G-O-U-L-D, all one word again. And she can answer all of your questions. If you need to hop on a quick call there just to answer some questions or email or go back and forth or this and that or when are the calls going to be or whatever, DM her, check it out. And if it is right for you, fantastic. It is a pretty damn good program, if I do say so myself. But yeah, have an awesome time. I'll speak to you all soon.